What's good, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen and Rob Reese back with you for week four of the fantasy season and waiver wire pickups. What's going on, Robbie? We've been working some transactions over the weekend trying to find the best streamers out there, right?
There's a lot of them, Petey. Yeah, happy Monday all, and we're joined alongside James Harding, Waiver Wire James. How we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How are you?
Doing great, and just trying to see what's real out there, and you know, of course, I think some streaks out there. One that comes to mind, right, in our top 10 waiver wire list this morning, Troy Terry from the Anaheim Ducks. Also, Craig Anderson, hot for the Buffalo Sabres. We'll get to him. But the Anaheim Ducks were not viewed, James, as a contending team. They're kind of middling in that middle ground in the Pacific Division, winning some games left and right. And Troy Terry, if you believe it or not, 8-game point streak, tied with Alex Ovechkin for the longest in the whole NHL this season. Is Troy Terry for real, James? Because he's one of those many young Ducks skaters that's wowing us so far.
Yeah, I think he is. You know, when you look at what he's done so far this season, like you said, 8 points, 8-game point streak right now. He's got 10 points in 9 games, 2 power play points, 18 shots on goal. You know, for a guy who was a 5th round pick, 6 years ago, the year that that McDavid and Eichel and all those highly touted guys, that first round. When he was a guy who really wasn't expected to become any kind of a solid contributing NHL player. And yet, you know, here he is really, on the wing of the Ducks top line. And, you know, we had talked going into the season about all of the big guys that the Ducks had, you know, Zegras and Comtois and Drysdale. Even Ryan Getzlaf was getting a lot more love going into the season than Troy Terry. But I think that, you know, when you look at what he's doing right now and you look at how he's forming that chemistry, you know, with Getzlaf on that line, yeah, he's the real deal. And he's definitely somebody that I think you should be targeting, who's widely available in a lot of fantasy leagues right now.
And Anaheim's got 2 favorable matchups this week, one against the New Jersey Devils, the other against the Arizona Coyotes. Those are 2 good ones. They play the Blues on Sunday, November 7th. That's a tougher one, but definitely at least for those 2 games, James, I would go out and stream Troy Terry, who, by the way, he looked great in that World Junior tournament a number of years ago too. So like, he can definitely play with the elite talent. I just hope that Anaheim, you know, maybe Annie's up and tries to go out and get an elite playmaking center to be kind of 1-2 with Zegras. I mean, if they got in on Eichel, that would be the best thing for that team, period. And for Troy Terry too, obviously would be huge, but in the short term, in the interim, I do recommend that streaming option as well, James. And if you're just playing DFS, like, that's a definite slam dunk guy to have in your roster too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you look at what he's done so far. I mean, he's got goals in 5 of his last 6 games on his point streak right now. And, you know, even though some of the teams that he's played against have been pretty banged up, he has produced against Vegas. He has produced against Winnipeg, Minnesota, Edmonton. So even a multi-point game against Calgary, one of the few, games where Jacob Markstrom got exposed a little bit, allowing 2 goals about a week and a half ago. So, you know, he is producing against some better talent right now. But like you said, he has very, very favorable matchups coming up. When you look at their schedule this week, they have New Jersey, Arizona, St. Louis, like you said, is a little bit of a trickier matchup for them. But then they play Vancouver and Seattle. So, you know, they have some very, very favorable matchups in the next week and a half that are coming up that I would absolutely be streaming Troy Terry in every single one of them, especially when it comes to DFS.
And it's funny, the Pacific Division all of a sudden has all these different teams that are playing well, right? Like, even the Kings have bounced back a little bit with a couple of wins since Doughty went down. The Calgary Flames are on a 6-game winning streak in that division. I know the Kraken are up and down, and the Sharks even came through over the weekend where they were missing a large portion of their roster on the COVID list, including their coach, Bob Bugner. But yeah, those Calgary Flames, I think, have been a quiet surprise, right, Robbie? Because we were a little down on that bunch, but they're scoring throughout the lineup. Of course, their top dogs, I think they got 3 forwards in the top 50. Matthew Tkachuk, Elias Lindholm, and Johnny Gaudreau. Mangiapane has been hot. Rasmus Anderson is a guy that has surfaced on this waiver wire list this week. What are your guys' thoughts on him? Because he's quarterback in the big unit right on the power play.
I like Anderson a lot as a streamer. I mean, at the defensive position, you know, I mean, you guys know better than anyone too. Like, you just need someone that's at least hot right now to stream. I mean, even Artem Zub, I was looking at him to add last week. So things are pretty dire at the position, meaning Anderson is certainly a shining light there. For Calgary, though, in general, I mean, the guy I'm most impressed with is Elias Lindholm. Like, he became kind of the premier player of that roster and kind of the glue guy holding everybody together. He's played better than Matthew Tkachuk to date in fantasy, which is very surprising. And then Johnny Gaudreau deserves a lot of credit, too, for just kind of weathering a lot of the bad press that he was getting up north and kind of just having that bounce back type year, which we thought he could have. And now he's actually doing it. So I like the Anderson exposure stream there, James. Calgary, I'm not 100% buying into yet. I like Edmonton a lot more. I think Vegas also, if we're talking about the division, deserves a lot of credit for winning three straight without their two stars. But for Calgary, yeah, hats off to them. And Anderson's definitely a guy I'd be running to get right now.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. The unfortunate thing with Anderson is he doesn't really get substantial category coverage. He's more of a guy right now that I'm going to stream in a points only league or a league where, you know, points, especially defenseman points, are at a premium. But he does have 4 points in his last 4 games, and he does have a power play point in 3 of his last 4 games. So when you look at the stats that he's putting up running that unit, absolutely, he's somebody that you want to be looking at. Also on that defensive unit, who's skating with him at even strength on that top pair, Oliver Kylington. So definitely in like those really, really deep leagues, or if you need a super value sleeper for your DFS rosters, look at Oliver Kylington. If Rasmus Anderson's DFS value starts to get a little too high. But right now, Anderson, with the way that the Flames are rolling, you can't go wrong. And especially in season-long leagues, he's only rostered in 25%. So he's definitely, definitely readily available. And they have some very, very favorable matchups. Nashville, Dallas, the Rangers, San Jose, and Montreal in their next 5.
And a guy that Robbie mentioned before from a different team, Artem Zub, for the Ottawa Senators. He's a guy that I think people definitely need to take more seriously. Last week, we were talking about him. Should we get him in the top 50 defenseman rankings? We had him just outside. He'll probably be in this week. He's got 4 assists in 7 games. I think Ottawa is a team with a lot of sneaky scoring options, and he's like a physical player. So he's got 15 hits in those 7 games, better than 2 per game. So that's a guy, like, when you get to that later stage of defenseman, right, where you start moving away from the point producers and you try to find anyone with some coverage, people go out there and get Radko Gudas because he has a million hits per game. But we don't usually like to go that route of the category specialist. We like to try to find some scoring pop and scoring upside, and I think this guy from Ottawa really fits the bill for me, at least.
Well, it's an interesting debate. I think James bringing up the category stuff that Anderson's not getting it, because it's true in 2 leagues. One, I'm with you in PD that counts hits and blocks in our experts league. And another one, I'm in a bangers league that counts PIMs, hits and blocks. And like, I'm shying away from a lot of these points only guys on the waiver wire. Now I've gotten off to a shaky start in one of those leagues, just because I kind of used our old strategy of getting those like kind of high end, like flashy guys, but they don't cover any categories. They're never in the penalty box. They're never blocking shots. And you're lucky to get 1 hit a week out of some of these guys. Right. So I, when I'm going to the waiver wire now, James, I'm almost kind of going for the guys that are guaranteed to have at least a few hits a game, at least a few blocks. And, you know, when they're getting a plus minus 2, like a plus 1 or 2, that does not hurt as well, even if they're not getting goals and assists.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty impressive at this point that Zub is +6 for the Ottawa Senators. He's got points in 4 of his last 5 games, but I talk about that category coverage, and you know, you look at that, he has 10 hits and 19 block shots in his last 5 games. So, you know, if you're looking for that category coverage specialist who can also chip in a point or two here and there, he's definitely one of those guys that you should be looking at. And especially because in DFS, they count blocked shots. So again, he's another one of those, you know, streaming options in those deeper leagues where you're trying to get category coverage late in a week, or if you're looking for that value play in DFS contests.
And he's playing monster minutes, Zub, 23.45 per game. So if you're talking about a guy that covers multiple of those miscellaneous categories, you're going to, you know, those peripherals, you're going to see him continue to rack them up. He's not a guy playing 15, 20 minutes a game like some of these younger guys on the block that are trying to carve out their roles for respective teams, like Bowen Byram, like Jamie Drysdale, guys like that. You might be better off going with a guy who's going to be a workhorse for a team that could certainly surprise some people. And one last thing on Rasmus Anderson, you had a good note in the top 10, in the top 10 waiver wire piece, James. Rasmus Anderson, top or number one, tied for first with Aaron Ekblad and Mackenzie Weegar, the good defense pair in plus minus with a plus 10 so far. So who knows if that's sustainable, because I don't know that Calgary is just going to roll through this whole season. But regardless, that's a really nice standout category that he does cover.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Ekblad is absolutely torching it this season. 9 points in nine games, 29 shots, plus 10, as you noted, 4 power play points. Guys, absolutely on fire. I think if you're looking at Florida too, don't hesitate to go out and pick up Anthony DeClaire. We could do like a full breakdown on them and any one of their top three lines. You're probably worth streaming a guy on, especially if you're in a deeper league. But James, I did want to talk a little bit about Chandler Stephenson. I'm personally surprised. I don't know if you are, but his past three games, he's on a point streak, 2 multi-point games during that span, 1 against Colorado. He's played 20 minutes in each one of those contests, and he's doing it with Will Carrier and Peyton Krebs sometimes on his line, a big downgrade, obviously, from Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty. How's this guy doing it?
I think that's what everybody in the NHL world is trying to ask right now, because, you know, 2 years ago, this guy was the third or fourth center on the Washington Capitals, and now he's the number one center on, you know, the team going into the year that everybody said it's either going to be them or Colorado coming out of the West. And, you know, here's Chandler Stephenson as the 1C. And then 3 games into the season, he loses, you know, 2 of the top 50 players overall that we had in our rankings, and Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty. And everybody said, all right, well, you know, Chandler Stephenson's done until they come back. And all he's done is just consistently keep producing. Now, you can say that he's had some favorable matchups, but, you know, he's also had St. Louis, Edmonton, the Islanders, Colorado thrown in there. So, you know, he's been consistently performing. You know, even the games where he hasn't scored, he's still been noticeable. But, you know, 3-game point streak, 5 points in that span, 4 shots on goal, 5 hits, 2 blocks. So, you know, still getting A, that category coverage, and B, he's just trying to fight off the fact that he's a product of Stone and Pacioretty being on his line to prove that he has standalone value by himself. And I think it's very, very impressive that he's continued to do that.
Right. That goal he scored against Colorado the other day was it almost felt like it turned the tide for Vegas, because going into that game, the expectations were low across the league that they'd be able to hang with a team like that without their 2 best players. But that just gave them an early lift, and they haven't looked back ever since that early goal for Stephenson in that game. And yeah, when you see, in addition to a multi-point game, 5 hits, that gets me excited that this guy can return value on his own and then take it to another level when the other guys come back. So really good sign for Vegas and stopping the bleeding and just trying to keep the good momentum going, because we did expect them to run away with that Pacific Division early on. It looks like, you know, Edmonton might be the class of that. They play the Kraken on Monday, so that'll be a good matchup. But I do still believe that over time, right, tried and true, Vegas Golden Knights will get back atop and then get healthy and be one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, they're starting to remind me a little bit of Pittsburgh and Washington, who also are decimated with injuries, but still getting some points in the standings. Pittsburgh, you know, the wheels are falling off a little bit, but Crosby's back. That's huge for them. You know, Malkin will be back hopefully somewhat soon for them as well. And to Vegas's credit, like, it's really hard to do that, especially when those guys, Pacioretty and Stone, are elite point producers. And then going down their lineup, they didn't really have a whole lot more of that. So a lot of guys are stepping up. Shea Theodore has been playing well. Petrangelo, while he's not getting a lot in terms of points, has been good for category coverage. And Robin Lehner deserves a nod as well there too. So good things for Vegas. And I think this cements it, James. They need to be the team that goes out and gets Jack Eichel, because if they do and he gets the surgery and he gets back, you know, later in the season, that team changed my mind, but they are winning the Stanley Cup.
Absolutely. I mean, you took the words, you know, right out of my mouth when you were, you know, saying everything that they've done so far, and the fact that it is reminding you a little bit more of a team like Pittsburgh, who's decimated right now with injury. The one concern that we've always had, you know, for the last, I mean, really since, you know, Vegas has entered the league, has been their center depth. And it's just showing right now too. Outside of Chandler Stephenson, William Karlsson isn't really producing very well right now. Nolan Patrick is hurt, and he really hasn't gotten any kind of momentum going since his trade from Philly in the offseason. Even when Stone and Pacioretty come back, there still is that question mark of, does Vegas have the center depth to compete and contend on a deep playoff run, you know, against some of these top teams? And I'm still not entirely sold on the fact that they can do this unless they go out and get somebody like a Jack Eichel.
I agree with that. I think they need Eichel to win the cup, because they've gotten so close with the three conference final or final four appearances in their first four seasons. So definitely missing that extra boost come that time of year, and Eichel would provide it. You know, there are some rumblings over the weekend that like this Eichel trade could happen any day. I know we've been saying that for like 3 months plus, but it's good to hear that there could be a resolution to that situation, hopefully in the near future. Then we maybe could get a better timetable on what his injury status actually might be. And then we could tell people whether or not they should stack or they should stash him, or maybe even pull a trade for him, hoping that he comes back later in the season, like Kucherov will. So you could see some big returns pay dividends if you stack the right players, for sure.
So now, I mean, I hate that I'm even bringing this up, but I think we've got to Craig Anderson for the Buffalo Sabres continues to defy the critics, continues to play well. Buffalo, and this one is really surprising, this stat, is actually +8 in goal differential. They're second in the Atlantic Division in points behind Florida right now. A lot of those bigger teams are kind of sputtering to get going. So, James, I mean, if you're thin at the goalie position, which myself and a lot of other people are, do you go out and feel comfortable getting Craig Anderson?
I think at this point, you have to give it a try. A 1.98 goals against average, a 9.39 save percentage so far through five games. He's won four of them. And when you look at their schedule coming up over the next, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks, San Jose, Seattle, Detroit, obviously the Capitals are going to be a very, very tough game. And Edmonton is going to be a tough game. But, you know, with how Buffalo is playing right now, they're staying in every one of these games. And I think that that team is motivated to just try and prove everybody wrong, that they're, you know, not just going to lay down for everybody, and they're going to be a tough out this year. So definitely for this week, I would 100% run out and try and pick up Craig Anderson with, you know, games, I mean, San Jose, Seattle, and Detroit. Then you can make a decision on him going into next week when they're going to have Washington and Edmonton. But certainly as a streaming option for the next, you know, week to week and a half, 100% I'm running out and going to pick up Craig Anderson. And if he wins three out of those five games, gives him seven wins, and he still has a goals against somewhere in the low twos after this run, I think he's one of those guys that has some staying power until he really cools off or that team really cools off. And if nothing else, he goes out, wins three of his next five games, you sell high, try and get somebody to, you know, bite on him, thinking that Buffalo is actually turning it around.
And Buffalo's playing really competitively, even in their losses so far this season, including the one they just lost to the Kings, but where they blew a lead. But I just think that, Buffalo's just out for respect on a nightly basis. And you even see it in the fantasy circles with this great start to the season for Craig Anderson. He's only rostered in 1/3 of Yahoo leagues. So You can still find him in many shallow leagues out there, which is good to see, because I think that this Buffalo team definitely has something to prove. They're out every single night to cast their doubters aside. So whether it's Craig Anderson, Victor Olofsson, Rasmus Dahlin, Rasmus Asplund, who's had a couple of good games here and there, you know, you're not dumpster diving to find these guys. This is a quality team that is at least going to hang around until Thanksgiving. Anything after that would be gravy, considering the expectations were really, honestly, they were as low as Arizona's. If Buffalo started this season 0-8-1 or whatever Arizona is, none of us would have been surprised. So really appreciate the effort to get themselves even close to the top of the Atlantic, you know, entering week four. It's impressive.
We had them, I think, what, 19 wins? They're going to get that here in another month or so if they keep this thing up. So, no, big credit to Buffalo. But, James, let's talk about Tampa. We'll stay in the Atlantic division there. Tampa, you know, they've won two straight. They've struggled a little bit at home, but Alex Killorn is the guy that is really impressing me so far. Braden Point hasn't really returned a lot for fantasy managers. Steven Stamkos has been good, but without Kucherov, like, they needed someone to really take the next step. And Killorn, he's really continuing his success, from the Stanley Cup playoffs last year.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, you look at it, and he's always been a solid contributor on this team. He's just one of those guys where you always know that he was going to be around. You always know he was going to be in the mix. He's never had any, you know, his career high is 49 points, which he set 2 years ago in the COVID shortened season in 68 games. He took a little bit of a dip last season with 33 in 56 games. And who knows if that was, you know, any kind of a drop because of Kucherov not being in the lineup. But, you know, whatever he's doing this year, you know, keep doing it. I mean, John Cooper is hitting the right buttons with him right now. He's getting the category coverage, 11 hits, 16 shots on goal. The one thing, no power play points so far this season for Alex Killorn. So everything he's doing, he's getting done at even strength. And at some point, you kind of want to sit there and you want to see a little bit of that special teams coverage to come from him. But if this is the kind of production he's going to be giving you consistently at even strength, then it's something that you can't shy away from.
Well, the power play point production, or lack thereof in this case, is definitely attributed to the loss of Kucherov, who's out another, whatever, 7-8 weeks. But Killorn is on the top line with Point. I think they will make some adjustments and get that power play back to the middle ground at the very least. And Killorn last year in the playoffs, when Kucherov was there, he was on the first unit, 17 points in 19 playoff games. That was what Robbie alluded to, and 8 on the power play. So I actually do expect, because he's on the first unit with Hedman and Stamkos and Point, and playing with Point at even strength, like, he could keep this up for the next 2 months. No one would even blink an eye if they saw that, play around a point per game. And then maybe if you want to sell high at some point, knowing that Kucherov's eventually going to come back, you can do that. If not, even when Kucherov comes back, he'll still be on the first unit, Killorn. So you see that staying power here, and definite improvement on the power play is coming as they make adjustments to another long absence for Kucherov.
Yeah, I mean, and they're so well coached that these adjustments don't seem to be very hard for those guys to form chemistry. Like, it takes a game or two, and all of a sudden, like, Cirelli's looking like a really good player. He can play wing now as well. Stamkos has shifted back to center occasionally, and, like, they don't skip a beat. And it's really impressing me, I think, this Lightning team, if you were trying to make a futures bet, for them to go again and win another Stanley Cup, third time in a row, I wouldn't even hesitate to do that. I think they're really, really impressing me again. And maybe they even have a little flexibility cap-wise, James, where they could make some moves too and even bolster the lower, you know, top or bottom six scoring depth. But yeah, I think even without the power play points rolling in, James, I think Killorn is probably the safest guy on the list this week.
The words Tampa Bay Lightning and cap flexibility in the same sentence are nightmare worthy for everybody in the NHL right now. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, including Islanders fans, James.
Yeah, let's not go there. Let's not go there. We won't talk about that.
So I did want to mention, unfortunate storyline from the past week since we last talked, the Joel Quenneville resignation for the Florida Panthers. Of course, he was named in the Blackhawks investigation, but I just wanted to at least touch on this from a Panthers standpoint on the ice, because this has been one of the strongest, if not the best teams in the NHL this season, and now their coach is out. So Andrew Brunette, former NHL player, played 1,000-plus games, was an assistant under Quenneville. He takes over as the interim coach. Of course, there's rumblings that other guys could step in at some point during the season. But does this change, Robbie, does this change your view of the Panthers at all in terms of their ceiling, which we all know is capable of coming out of the East from a future standpoint and maybe even contending for the Stanley Cup?
No, I mean, I think the roster, deserves the most credit here in this case. I think, coaching in every sport can take a mediocre roster and make them a good roster. In Florida's case, they already have a great roster and they just need these guys to maintain 80 to 90% of this pace. They don't even need to keep playing 100% of their production so far to keep winning. As we've seen with the Atlantic Division, it's certainly not as strong as anybody thought it was going to be. It might even be the weakest right now in the first month of the season or so. And then to answer your question specifically, I just think there's so many guys that still have a little bit more to give on any given night there, Pete. I mean, we went out and picked up Mason Marchment last week in our experts league. And if you're picking a guy like him up off the waiver wire, you have a really, really good team. And not only are they the best team in the NHL and one of, I think, three that have yet to lose in regulation, I think it's Washington, it's Carolina, and it's Florida. So those are the top dogs. You also have guys that are just chipping in here and there, James, category coverage wise, like Marchment, like DeClaire, Frankie Vetrano occasionally, obviously Gustav Forsling, Radko Gudas, like the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah. 100%. And I don't want to take anything away from, Andrew Brunette. It's a great opportunity for him to showcase himself as a coach. But when you look at this roster that Bill Zito has constructed down there, I mean, it can almost run on autopilot for a lot of the season. And, these guys, they have the structure, they have the system. The helpful thing for Andrew Brunette is he's been teaching them this system for the last year and a half. So, he knows everything that Coach Q had put in place and had instilled. I don't think he's really going to touch this lineup very much. The only thing that I could potentially see is at some point, if Owen Tippett continues to struggle and not produce on that second line, maybe he moves Sam Reinhart up onto that second line with Bennett and Huberto. To try and, spark him a little bit. But aside from that, you look at this team. I mean, the goaltending, Sergei Bobrovsky has turned the clock back about 3 or 4 years to his last Vezina season form. Spencer Knight looks outstanding. My Spencer Knight for Vezina pick doesn't look so great right now because he's got 2 starts in the first 10 games. So, I'm a little nervous about that one. Probably might be even more at Sider at this point, who's going to win the Calder. But you just look at this team and they are, running on autopilot. So, yeah, I can definitely say that at some point, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference until maybe we get to, the playoffs and then we have to see. But I don't think that they're going to replace Brunette until at least the end of the season. I think they're going to give him, a long shot. Because I don't know if they really trust the guys who are going to be, out there and available right now.
You mentioned Sider, James. This is a guy that was on our waiver wire list, I think, opening week of the season. We liked what we saw from a category coverage and workload standpoint. But all of a sudden now he's got 8 assists in 9 games, leads all rookies in assists, leads all rookies in power play points. And Lucas Raymond did last week, igniting the scoreboard, you see the Detroit Red Wings appear like a team like Buffalo, but even better, that is really has some staying power on the scoreboard offensively. And Sider's been heavily involved, right?
Well, they've hung around, Petey, even without Bertuzzi not playing in Canada. Like they were in that game against the Maple Leafs, and, you know, 5-4 without one of your best forwards in the game. And keep in mind, Jakub Vrána has been on the sideline this entire time too. They deserve maybe like the most accolades in fantasy right now, just in terms of value. When you look at fantasy, you have to consider average draft position as being the number one indicator of what you're actually getting in terms of production. And Detroit has been the one that's just smashing that. The Dylan Larkin's been great. Bertuzzi, when he's in the lineup, is a real, real player. Mo Sider, who, yeah, James, if you want to hedge that failing Spencer Knight bet and get Mo Sider to win the Calder, you should do that right now. So they deserve a lot of credit too. I did want to say one last thing about Florida and just that kind of style of play is that just that team is unbelievable. Plus 18 goal differential, even without Huberdeau firing on all cylinders. Maybe Sam Bennett's a little bit banged up, but I don't think if you're playing DFS or you're, you know, putting money on games every night, like, and they still are big favorites, I don't think you should stop doing that. I just want to be clear about that. Like, I would still be all in on this Florida Panthers team.
I agree with that on your Florida Panthers point, and I agree with what you guys have been saying about Detroit. I thought that Detroit was going to take a step forward this season. You know, when you looked at the offseason that they had going out and acquiring Nedeljkovic from the Hurricanes, they get Nick Leddy in the trade from the New York Islanders to kind of solidify that defense a little bit. I think Nick Leddy, it can't be, you know, overstated, I think, the impact that Nick Leddy is having on Moritz Seider, because, you know, they were paired together in the preseason. They were paired together early at the beginning of the season, and they play a very, very similar style. Obviously, Mo is a little bit more of an offensive defenseman, and you know, Leddy in his heyday was, but now he's a lot more defensive mind, and I think he's teaching him kind of how to be that two-way defenseman. You look at just where this team is, and once they add Vrana back, I will say that in my opinion, it's kind of the Anaheim and Vegas effect with Detroit. Outside of Larkin, I still don't fully trust their center depth. There would be a team that I would try and get in on the Eichel sweepstakes as well, but, you know, definitely if they can add another, you know, top six center, that team is going to take off very, very quickly.
Well, you know, if this team is even remotely competitive, the rebuild will be further accelerated, hopefully by Vrana's return later in the season, but maybe even more so a trade before the deadline, because Stevie Y is always on the hotline getting the best discounts and deals around the league. And another factor that you were mentioning with Leddy, James, is the Barry Trotz impact. I mean, think about that. That's like, you know, by association, they went out and got Thomas Greiss 1 year, then they got Nick Leddy the next year. Two players that I think really improved defensively under Trotz. And then they come to Detroit where that's having a ripple effect on the team. So like, Trotz isn't their coach, but I think he has made an impact on those two players, which has had a ripple effect on the Detroit lineup in terms of their two-way play. So hats off to Stevie Y for that move, because that's a stealth move, very savvy.
Yeah, it's all about the stealth moves too, right? And I think the Ned trade, even though it hasn't worked out entirely in terms of save percentage and peripherals in fantasy, that'll be another one, I think, that we look back in hindsight in a few years and say, wow, like, I can't believe that happened. And they got him for really next to nothing in kind of one way to put it. But another team I think, you know, we should talk about just a little bit is the Columbus Blue Jackets. They continue to defy, I think, expectations. And I saw a couple articles over the weekend saying, should John Tortorella go and coach the Florida Panthers? And I think from what we've seen from Columbus this year playing without Tortorella, like, their offense looks renewed. It looks refreshed. They look like they have energy again and have fun out there. And I just don't see that parallel as to why the Florida Panthers would want to go out there and bring in a guy like John Tortorella. Again, it's not disrespect. It's just, you know, taking a high-flying offensive team and then kind of putting a governor on it. Governor basically slows down the engine and caps it out at a certain speed for safety. I don't think you want to put a governor on the Panthers right now.
No, and I don't think that Tortorella would be, you know, that great of a fit there. It's going to be very interesting. Like I said, I think that they are perfectly content with giving Andrew Brunette, you know, at least a significant run for the most of this season to see what he can do with that team. And if they start to falter, then they maybe look and see what the options out there are. But I don't see this team slowing down anytime soon.
Right. They've scored 4+ goals a couple times already, Columbus, and 5-3 on the season. I know they lost to the Rangers the other day. Shesterkin's been awesome for the Rangers, by the way. Totally worth reaching for if you did, in the top 5 overall among goalies. But yeah, back to Columbus, it's you know, they just bounce right back, and they beat the Devils the other day. So, you know, I think that Columbus has definitely shown that they can hang with the pack in that Metro division. You even see right now the Islanders, I know they're in the midst of that road trip, but they're falling behind a little bit in the standings. Lost out on a key point against Nashville the other day on the road. So, you know, if a team in that Metro division starts slipping, you're going to have teams like the Jersey Devils and the Blue Jackets hanging around, because even the Devils guys, right, like without Jack Hughes for what, 5 weeks, it's going to be 4 or 5 weeks. You see them all of a sudden, they'll just conveniently switch Pavel Zacha back to center, where he played really well down the stretch last year, started the season at wing. But Pavel Zacha is another guy in the depths of your waiver wire list that I think could return some value in the absence of Jack Hughes the next couple of weeks.
The Devils have been a little surprising so far this season. I think we expected them to be better than they have been. Obviously, losing Hughes so early in the season definitely had an effect, because we all expected Hughes to be, you know, that breakout 70-point-plus player. Dougie Hamilton, and obviously, you know, having Hughes not in the lineup has an effect, but Dougie Hamilton hasn't been the lineup presence that we've expected so far. And I think that, you know, the contract he signed in the offseason has been expected of him so far. You know, Columbus, I think that they have a little bit more staying power right now, just because of how top heavy that lineup is. When you look at the guys that they deploy in their top six, Bjorkstrand off to an absolutely fantastic start so far this season. Werenski, I love Jake Bean. I think he's going to be a breakout candidate this year on defense. You know, they did get lit up the other night by the Rangers, so we'll have to see where they go. But yeah, I can definitely see some staying power in the top six for both the Devils and Columbus. Is kind of like buy low guys right now. Zacha being one of them with how he's performing. I did touch on him this week in the waiver list. So, you know, definitely keep a guy like him in mind, but I wouldn't be pinning my hopes early in the season right now for your fantasy rosters on Zacha doing something that he's never done in his career.
And two notes for DFS players here, absolute stud performances. One from Dougie Hamilton, who had a goal, 10 shots and 4 blocks in that game against Columbus. That is absolutely insane stat line. He probably racked up one of the most points by a defenseman in DFS yet this season from that game alone. And then Zach Werenski, this guy should be in your lineup every night they play. He played 33 minutes, including 224 on the power play and 346 shorthanded. That is absolutely bonkers. That is a playoff stat line from the big dogs like Drew Doughty and company. You're not going to see that very often around the NHL. So get those guys in your lineup when they play. And I'll push back on that Dougie Hamilton take, James. This is a guy that's third right now among defensemen and shots on goal. He's got 6 points in 7 games. I'm pretty impressed by that, considering that Jack Hughes has been banged up.
Yeah, I meant that, like, where he's produced in the past versus where he's producing right now. He's getting a lot of shots on goal. He's just not converting a lot of them. He is getting the assists. And I said, you know, I meant more like I would have expected him to be producing at a much, much higher level and higher percentage if he had Hughes in that lineup and the New Jersey offense was clicking the way that, you know, we were expecting. But at the end of the day, he is shooting a lot. And, you know, the 6 points in the 7 games so far, but I think we were all expecting still a slightly higher level from Hamilton coming in this season. And I think he will get there. I just think right now he definitely, outside of the shots on goal, still has another level that he can take his game to.
Yeah. Even still though, it's like we were comparing him to Seth Jones before the season, because they were the two big offseason movers. Like, it's not even close right now. I know that Jones is among the defenseman leaders in assists, but that gets completely taken away by the plus minus performance so far for the Blackhawks, who are still without a win. They'll go for their first win. They have a decent shot at it against Ottawa on Monday, but I still think that Chicago is in really bad shape with their roster right now, still without Kane for COVID protocol. And, you know, so many issues going on with that team right now. But one other guy I wanted to touch on before we wrap, for a team that has been a little disappointing so far, the Boston Bruins, they needed a new wrinkle. It seems like Charlie Coyle's working out as the number two center right now. He's got 5 points in his past five games with a pretty good shot volume over that stretch. Are you guys, either or both of you, buying on Charlie Coyle in a deep league, hoping that he fills that David Krejci role for the rest of the season with Hall and Craig Smith?
I like Coyle. I love his ice time against the Florida Panthers. He played 1933, including 204 occasionally, you know, with exposure to the big guys on the power play. So that's enough for me, James, to go out there and say, all right, if I'm in a deeper league, like, this is a guy that I know has a line of placement, you know, playing on Taylor Hall's line. Again, I'm not super excited about the Taylor Hall signing there for Boston, but again, you could do a lot worse in terms of exposure on a second line and occasional power play time. I just think that Boston is a team that we're seeing, they need to play at 110% every night against the top clubs to be competitive. They don't have that luxury, I think, of kind of sitting back a little bit like some of these more flashy teams in fantasy, James, like Carolina, Washington, Colorado, even with their slow start. Like, they don't have that luxury. I think they really need to be all in every night. So in terms of sustainability, Petey, I don't know how good this season could be for Coyle. I'd be happy to see 45 points from him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you look at what he's doing right now based off of his, you know, prior seasons. I mean, his best season in Minnesota was 56 points. His second best season of his career was also in Minnesota, which was 42 points. So I'm not completely sold on Charlie Coyle all of a sudden after being in the league for so many years and being that, you know, light of his production, that he's just going to come out of nowhere and be, you know, like a 60 or 70 point second line center. I do expect them at some point to go out and make some kind of a move to bring somebody in to take over on that slot. But for streaming purposes right now, absolutely. I would 100% be picking him up in deeper leagues, hammering him in DFS, especially if the price is right. But, you know, you look at that team and, you know, this is not the Boston Bruins team that we're used to. There are holes up and down that lineup. And, you know, one of the big ones right now, Charlie McAvoy. You know, we want to talk about underperforming defensemen. He has not performed like the defenseman that we expected him to be going into this season right now. That team as a whole has not really performed. Linus Ullmark, Jeremy Swayman have not looked good in net. So there are a lot of question marks for the Boston Bruins. But right now, it seems like they are going to give Coyle a little bit of a run as that second center. So I would definitely, you know, like, buy in on him a little bit. But I'm not pinning my hopes that he's going to all of a sudden turn into this player that he's never been in his career.
Well, he was a decent point producer with the Wild when he was playing, I think, wing, not center, in the top six a few years back, and he scored 55 points or something like that. So he does have a decent track record, kind of like Yanni Gourde, in that he's now playing center, whereas earlier in his career he was playing wing, and maybe he could get back to that ceiling for a more prominent role for a better team. So and then one other thing, like, a lot of people are worried right now about Jeff Petrie and more underperforming defensemen. I've gotten so many questions over the weekend. Should I drop Jeff Petrie, who has 1 point in 10 games? Should I drop Jacob Chychrun? I'm sure people are thinking, should I drop Seth Jones? I mean, what's your guys' stance on that situation with some of these underperforming defensemen? Because even if I had McAvoy, you're in good hands compared to some of these other guys out there at the position.
Well, James, your take on McAvoy was actually bang on, because this happens every single year. I reach for McAvoy in the top 55. I get literally no value in fantasy in the regular season. And then he lights it up in the playoffs, and I'm going back out there and taking him even higher the next year. It's like rinse and repeat with that player. But to answer Petey's question, I cannot believe there are fantasy managers with Jeff Petrie still on their lineup. After the first game, I would have said to drop the guy. Jacob Chychrun for the Coyotes, you shouldn't have a single Coyote on the roster unless you're streaming Carl Vilmalki or whatever in net occasion if you're really, really struggling at the goalie position.
I don't even know. The Coyotes right now I'm actually wondering if I could find like a bet somewhere of a minus 200 goal differential for the Coyotes, because they're at minus 26 through nine games. So like we're 1/9 of the way through the season, and they're already at minus 26. So I'm curious to see like how deep that cavern gets. And if I don't want to attach anything on my fantasy roster to that team right now, so I would be dropping Jacob Chychrun in keeper and dynasty leagues. I'd be trying to trade him right now, because I mean, it's going to be 3 to 5 years before that team is relevant again. So I'm not touching him. I'm not touching Jeff Petrie right now with how Montreal is. I would rather have Seth Jones with a minus 10 and 7 points versus either one of those players right now. Sign me up for Seth Jones.
Yeah, that Seth Jones number by the season's end might really be minus 30 or 40, and you could still say it could be considerably better than Chychrun, who's minus 15 with no points in nine games. I remember people were saying, why don't you have Jacob Chychrun in your top 20 defensemen entering the season? We said at the time, the Coyotes traded their best players, their best three or four players in the offseason, and are going to be a really eyesore this year in the standings. So anyway, James, thanks for hopping on, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in the future.
All right, guys. Yeah, great week.
Thank you, James. Appreciate you joining us. Great stuff as always. Quick positivity note as we wrap on the Coyotes. We have three first-round picks and 5 seconds, though. So, hey, it could be 2 years, James, before this team's lighting things up in the NHL.
I think they have more first-round picks this year than Toronto has picks in their entire draft. So
thanks again, James. And for Pete Jensen, myself, Rob Reese, Bob Bender. Also, shout-out to Ben Cook, one of our producers. He's getting us looking better than ever with the video sound bites. I wanted to give Ben a shout out, who's on the Zoom call with us right now. So we'll talk to you all on Thursday. NHL Fantasy on Ice. We'll be back with another rankings mailbag edition. Looking forward to it. Talk to you then.